Good morning and welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my great joy to welcome you to worship with us today. If you're watching with us on Sunday morning at 10, I'm glad to have you with us, and I hope you'll take a moment to say hello and wish peace to one another in the comments here on the video. If you're watching at some point later in the day or the week, welcome still into our midst. Our worship is richer because of the diversity of people who participate in it, and we're a church committed to welcoming and celebrating the diversity of our congregation, as we welcome people of all ages and races, of all sexual orientations and gender identities. You are welcome in our midst. Our worship is richer for your participation, and so I hope you will sing and pray along with us from home. There is a worship guide that you can pull up on a device or print out from home with words and music for the songs and prayers. I hope you'll join in from where you are and lift your voices with us in song. I have such deep gratitude to all of the people who are a part of our worship every Sunday, those participating from home, as well as those who are a part of these videos. During this season of Advent, we're especially grateful to have some of our youth with us as acolytes and our grapple group helping offer to us the poetry of Maya Angelou as a part of our worship. I encourage you to join us now as we lift our hearts to God. May the peace of Christ be with you.
In a world of oppression and injustice, in the midst of natural disaster and pandemic, we claim hope in the promise of Christ's coming. As we prepare to light the first Advent candle, we share these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him.
We light this candle of hope. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen.
God of light and hope, of darkness and dawn, be with us in the shadows, even and especially in the valley of the shadow of death. Show us the way and let us be lanterns of hope for others. Keep us awake and alert to your coming. Tear open the heavens, let mountains of despair quake at your presence. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.
A Plagued Journey by Maya Angelou. There is no warning rattle at the door, nor heavy feet to stomp the foyer boards. Safe in the dark prison, I know that light slides over the fingered work of a toothless woman in Pakistan. Happy prints of an invisible time are illumined. My mouth agape rejects the solid air in lungs hold. The invader takes direction and seeps through the plaster walls. It is at my chamber, entering the keyhole, pushing through the padding of the door. I cannot scream. A bone of fear clogs my throat. It is upon me. It is sunrise, with hope its arrogant rider. My mind, formerly quiescent in its snug encasement, is strained to look upon their rapturous visages, to let them enter even into me. I have forced outside myself to mount the light and ride joined with hope. Through all the bright hours, I cling to expectation until darkness comes to reclaim me as its own. Hope fades, day is gone into its irredeemable place, and I am thrown back into the familiar bonds of disconsolation. Gloom crawls around, lapping lasciviously between my toes, at my ankles, and it sucks the strands of my hair. It forgives my heady fling with hope. I am joined again into its greedy arms.
Good morning. The reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn. Or else, he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the beauty and goodness of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This Sunday, we start the season of Advent. This season is traditionally 4 Sundays of preparation and waiting before Christ's coming. Advent is both a time of preparation for Christ's coming at Christmas, as we celebrate the incarnation, the gift of a God who takes on flesh and lives in our very midst, moving into our neighborhoods and our world. This is good news indeed. But we also celebrate Christ's coming in the fulfillment of time, Christ's coming in the reign of God, the promise of the world transformed by the fullness of love and justice that God imagines for us and for the world. We find ourselves waiting then, not only in anticipation of the familiar rhythms and story of Christmas, but in anticipation of a fulfillment of time that we don't yet know how to see and perceive and believe. Beauty that we can only aspire to understand, that is beyond our comprehension and contemplation. This Advent, we're invited then to hold open a space for daring to believe that God is doing a new thing still. Usually, as we begin the season of Advent, I find myself more torn between this Advent impulse to hold open a hope that speaks into the desperation and desolation of the world, and the expectation and obligation of Christmas cheer. Usually, my schedule by this time of year is pretty full with expectations and obligations, with things to do and people to see as we celebrate this beautiful season of Advent and Christmas. But this year is so different. Because of the reality of the coronavirus pandemic, so many of the things we would normally do, the people we would normally gather with in different spaces for celebrations and traditions, are impossible and inaccessible because we care about the health of the whole community. We're restraining from doing these things we love, and honestly, some of the things we don't totally love, things we felt obligated to do, celebrations we felt like we should take part in because it's the way to participate in our community or our workplace or our life. This season, there are fewer and fewer of those places we're supposed to show up to, ready to celebrate. So I don't feel in quite the same way this tension and pull between expectation of celebration and awareness of devastation and desolation. This Advent, more than usual, I feel ready to sink into this strange space of waiting and expectation. Advent is a season that resonates with my spirit because I sympathize with this posture of waiting, unsure of when things will change and when they'll get better and when we'll be able to again reclaim the things we love and treasure about being together and celebrating and sharing table with one another. This Advent, I feel much more able to enter into that strange and silent time of uncertainty and waiting because this is the world that we find ourselves in. It's always been the case that there are so many reasons, so many people and situations who are so distant from the promise and the cheerfulness and the celebration. But this year, more of us are in that situation, more of us aware of the brokenness and desolation of this moment. And so even we who were so privileged find ourselves in a posture of hunger for hope. The poem that Maya Angelou wrote that we read this morning, offered to us by the Grapple Group, is one that invites us to contemplate the metaphors of darkness and light, of desolation and gloom and hope during this Advent season. In this poem, we begin and end in the context of darkness and gloom. Hope arrives in spite of the lack of readiness of the one to whom it arrives. Hope breaks into the room, disturbing the status quo, even as untenable as it was, with a different posture. But the poem returns at the end, back to the gloom of the dark. So often we use metaphors of light and darkness as a way of engaging the season, both because this is a time of the year when the darkness of night is growing ever longer, the daylight is shortening, and because these have long been symbols that we use in our Christian tradition to describe who God is and where we are. But there has been a dangerous and devastating set of assumptions about darkness and light too often applied to interpretation of these images in our scriptures and in our song and in our poetry. Too often we have associated darkness only with what is bad or sinful or wrong and light with what is good. And this has become knit together with white supremacy in a dangerous way that's made it difficult to believe and live as those who see blackness and darkness as beautiful. The mystic and theologian Howard Thurman wrote a beautiful work in the middle part of the 20th century he called The Luminous Darkness. It was theological exploration that came out of his own journey to wrestle with this association of darkness and blackness with what is sinful and evil. Instead, he invites us in this work to think about the darkness as a space of luminousness, as a space for a necessary thing to do the work of life, a space of goodness and beauty. And this is true to my experience of darkness. At sometimes, darkness has been a place of fear and danger, but I have also appreciated darkness as a context for rest, for relief, for growth, for nurturing. It's as if we're sheltered and held in the care of God when we're enfolded in darkness. It's only in the darkness of burial that a seed can split open, germinate, and send down its shoot, down its root and up its shoot in order to bring life. The darkness has a power to generate as the darkness of the womb when Mary carried Jesus, bringing God's own son into our world. Light, similarly, can be both liberating or oppressive. When you've lost your bearings in the dark, light can give you a place to catch those bearings, to see your way and to make a way through. It can shine like hopefulness in the midst of a desolation. But light can also be oppressive when it prevents us from getting any rest, when it knocks out our natural biorhythms and destabilizes the embodied rhythms of life. Light can be shined like an interrogator's light to intimidate and coerce. Light can be a violation as well as a liberation. And so this Advent, we're invited to contemplate what kind of darkness we find ourselves in and what kind of light we seek. It's a season in which we dare to believe and claim a hope, which can be a radical act. This week, Meghan Markle published an op-ed piece in the New York Times that revealed she and Harry's own struggle with loss of a pregnancy in breaking what's often a cultural silence around the reality of miscarriage and pregnancy loss. She opened up space for people to connect with one another and to know their stories are not stories that they carry alone. In this piece, she talked about the transformative moment that occurred when she and Harry, traveling in the midst of a busy schedule, when she was asked by a photographer a simple question, "Are you okay?" And how that question broke through to her in a powerful way, as if the simple asking of the question, "Are you okay?" created a generous space into which she could accept and give voice to not being okay. Sometimes we humans just need a container or space in which it's okay to see and name everything that's wrong or broken, what is not okay in this world. And this season, there is so much that is not okay, and we are struggling. And so this Advent opens up that container, a generous space into which we're invited to dare to name what is wrong, and also invited to dare to believe in a hope. Not that the suffering will disappear, or not that we'll resume what was before, but a hope that things can really be different. In Maya Angelou's poetry, I'm struck by how it is that hope arrives. In our individualistic U.S. American culture, we tend to think of virtues as things that we bear a personal obligation to cultivate and exhibit and hold on to. We are responsible for holding on to hope, and when we don't, it's a judgment on our moral character. But in this poetry of Maya Angelou, hope arrives unbidden, unwanted, disturbing the darkness. The darkness began in a community, in a context of dis-ease. The poem is titled A Plagued Journey, setting an expectation from the beginning that there is plague, there is disease, there is dis-ease at the beginning. And it's into this that hope comes, like the morning light, uninvited, but arriving anyway. This gives me such hope because it challenges me to see that hope arrives in our midst not because we generate it, but the hope arises out of the gift of God's Holy Spirit and out of the work of the community together. Hope comes whether we're ready or not. It arrives into our midst and invites us to dare to believe that a different world is possible. It arrives into our very midst and pushes us off our balance. It challenges us to open ourselves to a new way. Our gospel text for today from the Gospel of Mark is one that invites us to attentiveness during this season of Advent. It starts with language that evokes apocalypse from our scriptural tradition, as stars fall from the heavens, as the sun is blackened. This moment of apocalypse becomes an uncovering of something deeper than the reality present around us. It invites us to tear apart the status quo and see an opening for a something else. And then Mark, who writes this gospel shortly after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, he writes this good news of Jesus Christ to a Christian community wondering about what's coming. They've lost the expectation they held during Christ's life, that he would bring liberation from the Roman oppressors. In Christ's death and resurrection, they find a something else than what they anticipated. And then as the Christian community moves on after the resurrection and continues to grow, there's still hope that Christ will come again within the lifetimes of those there alive on earth. But not only does Christ not arrive, but the temple, the center place for the worship life of Jesus' Jewish community, the temple is destroyed. And so many of these symbols and practices and places that people count on as giving form and centering their religious life are now gone. It's into this context that Mark speaks these words about apocalypse, about things falling apart, about the world not being what we expected. And then he invites people to attention, to attentiveness, about the growth of the fig tree, about the return of a master. We're invited to attentiveness and awakeness. But it's not the high-pressured, stay awake, just keep your eyes peeled, you can't get any rest, attentiveness, that some who've kept watch through the night might remember. But the attentiveness of the long view, an attentiveness that invites us to dare to believe that a new hope is springing up even in the midst of this broken world, that the world's brokenness is creating cracks into which hope might shine, giving us a luminous possibility that changes both darkness and light, opening up a more generous space into which we might grow to be fully alive, daring to believe and trust in the vulnerability required to let ourselves, our hearts, our communities be broken open for a something new. That place held open is the place of hope. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you. A prayer by Maya Angelou. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we can celebrate you and our family and friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour out your love in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in your river of healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to the world that which we need most, peace. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship from Westwood Church. I'm grateful for your presence and participation. And as always, I want to invite you to go deeper into the life of our congregation and your life of faith. There are a couple of ways I want to invite you specifically to engage in the next week or so. The first is that today, as usual, you're invited to join our follow-up conversation at 11 a.m. on Zoom. The link is in the e-news. This conversation will give us opportunity to break out into small groups for connection with each other and for consideration of the themes from our worship today. I also want to make sure that you mark your calendar for next Sunday afternoon on December 6th at 3 p.m. We'll have an online Christmas concert from here in the sanctuary with a mix of pre-recorded music and live music as well. It's an opportunity to continue our tradition of a Christmas concert even in this year of pandemic. There are two things that are happening throughout this season that I want to make sure you know about. The first is that I invite you to use the devotional that we sent by email that connects the freedom poetry of Maya Angelou with our scripture and offers specific prayers and practices for you to use at home. It's got invitations to practices that are appropriate for people of all ages, whether you're doing it as an individual or as a family. We encourage you to use this as a tool for your faith. If you don't have that, if you didn't get the email from us last Tuesday or in the Friday e-news, please reach out to us and we'll be happy to send you a copy. You can do that by connecting with our church office. I also want to invite you to do your Christmas gift giving differently. We'll continue our church tradition called Scattered for Service, which is a different way of giving gifts this Christmas. It's got two main components. The first is a fair trade gift marketplace where you can shop for items that are produced and sold with fair trade certifications, supporting the artisans who make these and creating economic opportunities. We're working with the same shop we've worked worked with in years past in Seattle. So you can shop through their website. Our special discount code will give you both free shipping and means that the church will receive back some funds that we can use for missions in our local community. The second way that Scattered for Service works is that we've set up an impact gift marketplace where instead of buying things for people, you can make donations to one of a long list of causes and organizations, and then print out a gift certificate to give to that person to let them know that you've made a donation in their honor this Christmas. Both of those are available now at scatteredforservice.com or through our church website. I hope you'll participate in this way of doing gift giving differently as an expression of our faith. This morning we have a prayer shawl, and the shawl this morning is for Deborah Engel, the mother of Lila Smith. Deborah is not only recovering from a broken arm after a fall, but also is moving into long-term care. We pray in this time of transition. Will you pray with me for Deborah? Oh, Holy God, we pray that you would pour out your healing spirit on your daughter, Deborah, that you would give her knowledge of your presence in every moment, that you would give her strength and healing wherever it's possible, and that you would fill her with the peace that comes only from you. This and all our prayers we lift in your holy name. Amen. I want to send you out from this place now with a reminder of an Advent hope that comes into our world, sometimes even in spite of us. May you go out from this time into the world, knowing a God who makes space in this world for the hope of Christ, whose love arrives now and always. Be in peace. Amen.